Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to 3Q FY23 Vedanta Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal, Group Head, Investor Relations, Vedanta Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan, and hello, everyone. I am Sandeep Agarwal. On behalf of Vedanta Limited, I am delighted to welcome you to our third quarter of this financial year earnings call. A transcript of this call will be made available on our website as well as audio. The financial statements, press release, and presentation are already available on the website. Today, from our leadership team, we have with us Mr. Sunil Dugal, our Group CEO, Mr. Ajay Goel, Group CFO. We are also joined by leaders from a couple of key businesses, Mr. Arun Misra, CEO, Zinc Business, and Rahul Sharma, Deputy CEO, Aluminum Business. Please note, today's entire discussion will be covered by the cautionary statement on slide two of the presentation. We will start with update on our operational and financial performance, and then we'll open the floor for questions and answers. Now, without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Dugal.
Thank you, Sandeep. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to quarter three conference call. During the third quarter, the Indian economy remained strong and resilient on sound macroeconomic fundamentals and healthy domestic consumption. Despite rising interest rates, robust growth was witnessed in metal-consuming sectors like housing, automobile, consumer durables. However, the global economy continued to grapple with multiple headwinds like monetary tightening, high inflation, geopolitical instability, and volatility in financial markets. Commodity prices also witnessed sluggishness. In this macro environment, our team has performed commendably. We stood several initiatives, achieved strong operational performance. We delivered good set of financial results despite weaker commodity prices. Our third quarter EBITDA stood at ₹7,100 crore. Pre-CapEx for the quarter stood at ₹6,500 crore. With focus on working capital and cost optimization. In line with our repurposed ESG strategy, we work to uplift the quality of life of communities through various initiatives around drinking water, sanitation, healthcare, community infrastructure, children's well-being, and education, among others. We spent more than ₹216 crore in the first 9 months of the year and positively touched 3.14 plus million lives. Our ESG focus and action have been recognized by several major ESG rating agencies. Vedanta Limited is now ranked 6th globally among top 10 diversified metal and mining peers in DJSI and has been inducted into Dow Jones Sustainability Emerging Market Index. Our MSCI ESG rating has improved from CCC into 020 to BB now, and Sustainalytics have also improved our ESG score by 4.5 points. Across the board, improvement in our ESG risk rating is a testimony of our team's diligent efforts to become an ESG leader in the industry. Furthering on our goal to deploy 2.5 gigawatt of round-the-clock renewable energy for our operation by 2030, I'm delighted to share that we have approved plans for another 941 megawatt RE power under Group Captive RE Power Development Program for our operation across India, including in the Sunday. During the quarter, our aluminium business procured 390 million units of RE power and are conducting biofuel trials as green alternative for ladle preheating and heavy vehicles. We successfully conducted biomass trials at Sakar and ESL to explore alternative sources of clean energy. We have also joined SZL, Cane India and iron ore businesses in a net water positive operation. Cane signed MOU with Gujarat State Forest Department for development of 60-hectare mangrove forest, 50,000 saplings in coastal area of Surat in our effort to promote biodiversity and preserve environment. We introduced an industry-leading EV policy for all our employees. The policy will lead to increased adoption of EVs amongst employees and drive the mindset change, aiding India's green mobility push for a sustainable future. Now, I'll come to operations. And first on aluminium, our quarterly COP further reduced by 12% to $2,149 per ton on account of operations and buying efficiency. Our linkage coal materialization improved to 66%. We have commenced operation at Jamkhani mines. We continue to focus on volume growth and vertical integration projects to unlock its full potential. Zinc India achieved best ever mine and refined metal production in 9 months. Its quarterly refined metal production improved 5% QOQ with better plant and mine metal availability. It continues to be in the first quartile of global cost curve. Zinc international operations are now steady at 280 plus KTPA MIC production run rate. It achieved best ever MIC production in 9 months. And first cost of production excluding TCRC in this quarter decreased 12% YOY with operational efficiency and higher production volumes. Hansberg Phase 2 expansion is progressing well. In oil and gas business, our average gross production increased 3% QOQ to 145 KBOPD as natural production decline was offset by infill wells in MV and RDG fields. We have successfully drilled one exploration well in Rawa and have put that to production, adding close to 5 KBOPD. We commenced first gas and condensate facility in Jaya field, which is OLAP. As you know, that the government has extended the PSC for 10 years and we have signed the addendum to extension with effect from May 2020. In iron ore business, our production of saleable ore in Karnataka increased by 32% QOQ. Sale was sluggish due to government imposed duty on exports, but now it has picked up. Pig iron production was up by 66% QOQ to 200 KT as all our furnaces were online for post-maintenance shutdown in the previous quarter. However, we saw a quarterly decline in pig iron margin owing to price escalation. Our Liberia operation achieved first ever export shipment in this month. In steel, one of our blast furnaces was put on maintenance shutdown, resulting in a 6% quarterly production decline. Our quarterly COP, excluding the impact of iron ore mine cost, improved on account of lower coking coal cost. However, ESL's margin were impacted by decline in steel prices and high cost of production in the newly acquired iron ore mine owing to regulatory charges to be paid on iron ore production. In fact, 9-month ore production grew 15% YOY due to operational efficiency. Our 60 KTPA furnace is undergoing test run and we are on track to get first production in the month of February, current quarter. Overall, we have made significant progress across our strategic priorities, creating value for our stakeholders. Our world-class assets have delivered outstanding financial results driven by operational efficiency. I would also like to share that Vedanta Board has approved the sale of its ZI assets to SZL at valuation of $2.98 billion. Consolidation of ZI under SZL will fast-track ZI's growth by using SZL's best-in-class expertise in underground mining, smelting, and metal marketing. SZL's combined R&R would be 1 billion ton plus, and it would have benefit of improved access to developed markets and strong foothold in African subcontinent for expansion. This monetization would provide greater flexibility to Vedanta for future growth projects and manage leverage at group level. This transaction is win-win transaction and will unlock significant value for both SZL and Vedanta shareholders. Moving forward, We are optimistic on the commodity market and macro data that we see now is improving. China's reopening post-zero COVID policy, property market stimulus, and front-loading of infrastructure investment to expand is another positive for metals global demand. At the same time, India's economic situation is expected to be better than the rest of the world due to strong domestic consumption. Moreover, this is seasonally a good quarter for commodity demand in India. India being our largest market, its continued strength augurs well for our business performance. With our outstanding portfolio of low-cost assets, multi-commodity presence, strong balance sheet, and a commitment to ESG leadership, we are well positioned to deliver value to our shareholders and our community. With this now, I would like to hand over to our CFO, Mr. Ajay Goyal, for financial performance. Over to you, Ajay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Vasil, and good evening, everyone. Third quarter witnessed falling inflation and improving sentiments, which has driven recent metal outperformance. Indian economy remained buoyant and saw strong growth in metal consuming sectors, and India's manufacturing sectors ended 2022 on a strong note, with the manufacturing PMI rising to two-year high of almost 57.8. India's inflation eased below RBI's upper tolerance level for the first time in December to 5.7%. We believe that the commodity prices are now under the influence of demand recovery and will stay elevated in calendar 2023 and beyond. This quarter performance witnessed steady production, easing of inflation that helped in a lower operating cost. At the same time, the profit was impacted by further softening of commodity prices. Numbers for the Q3 are a reflection of continuing our various improvement initiatives in terms of enhancing production, lowering operating cost, and focus on free cash flow. I want to share some of the highlights for the current quarter. They being, the console quarterly revenue stands at about 33,691 crore, down 7% quarter-on-quarter, impacted by lower LME and Brent. The quarterly EBITDA at 7.1 thousand crore with a margin of 24%, supported by easing of input inflation and also strategic hedging. The main highlight for the current quarter remains our profit after tax (PAT), which is at about 3,900 crore rupees, which increased by 15% quarter-on-quarter. Healthy free cash flow, pre-capex, 6,504 crores, and also we continue to maintain strong double-digit ROCE of almost 23%. You heard that we also declared 12.5 rupees per share, fourth interim dividend. That makes total for the full fiscal at about 81 rupees per share YTD, and that also makes Vedanta the highest dividend-paying company amongst its peers in India. Before I move ahead further in Q3 performance, I would like to also highlight that our key metal businesses, that is Zinc India, Zinc International, and Aluminium, recorded highest ever MIC and metal production in the last 9 months. This demonstrates that our long-term fundamentals remain strong and we will deliver a robust year in terms of operational growth. We have an income statement in appendix where you will find details against each head of profit and loss account. I now move to EBITDA bridge. When compared the third quarter EBITDA to the second quarter, the largest driver was the lower input inflation and forex gain, which was partly offset by lower metal and Brent prices. Further, if you look at items that were under our control during the quarter, we did well in terms of operational performance on cost front, which was the outcome of various improvement initiatives running across the businesses and to some extent strategic hedging in Q3 as well. But if you compare last quarter, the benefit of hedging was lower comparatively, and therefore it also impacted the EBITDA for the quarter. Moving on to next page on net debt bridge. Net debt as on December 31st stand at about 38,000 crores, with net debt to EBITDA, the leverage ratio, at 0.96x, which is maintained at low levels amongst Indian peers. The increase in the debt in the current quarter is a result of spending on various sustaining and growth capexes at businesses, and also the money returned to shareholders that resulted in better debt mix at overall Vedanta Group level. As we are committed earlier, our net debt to EBITDA level remains comfortable and well within the range of our capital allocation framework. Moving on to the balance sheet, we have built a more harmonious balance sheet with assets and liabilities moving towards better equilibrium, and by which I mean to say the overall debt at holding company has come down significantly in the current fiscal. We are well positioned to address our current maturities, focusing on driving improvement. We also continue to have solid balance sheet with our net debt to EBITDA maintained at comfortable low levels, and we finished the quarter with almost 2.8 billion of healthy cash and cash equivalents. Our average maturity is maintained at about 3.7 years, with average cost of borrowings at about 7.7%. Our credit rating continues to be at AA with a stable outlook, both by India Ratings and CRISIL. We moved a step closer to our commitment of reducing holdco debt by 4 billion over 3 years. In the first 9 months, which is April to December, in the first 9 months, we deleveraged holdco by 1.7 billion. Finally, we are confident in our ability to close the year with a strong performance, as we have expertise to drive improvements across businesses while successfully weathering macroeconomic uncertainties. We have numerous initiatives that support our strategic priorities, and collectively, these will position us to meet growing demand for net zero transition, at the same time returning capital to shareholders. With this, I now hand over to operator for Q&As. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. So my first question is on the proposed transaction with Hindustan Zinc. Now, given that in the past, the government apparently did not approve the transaction back in 2012 when it was proposed to buy, what gives us confidence this time that the government representatives will be on board to approve the transaction?
See, this transaction is value accretive for both the organizations. So, I mean, the kind of reserve and resources that I had at that point of time and now it has, and the Hamsburg has been put up. Hamsburg has already ramped up to almost the full production. Second project is in pipeline. So that means the business is on track to deliver 600 KTPA of volume in the next 2 years' time. Along with that, a lot of exploration success has come. And from the time then to now, you can see that the total contained metal in Red Eye is more than the funding at this point of time. So it creates a huge synergy, and the success of Hindustan Zinc or transitioning to underground, putting up the smelting capacity, integrating the operation. So I think it is a winning combination, and with that winning combination, the government gains, and you can see that ONGC Videsh, other government company, now the government has set up Kabil to acquire the assets abroad, which is under the Mines Ministry today. So the government is looking at the global footprint. We believe that this proposal could be exciting for the country, for the government, and why should government not support this?
Sure, sir. And my last question is that with the expected proceeds, I think $2.4 billion upfront, and then the remaining over the over a time frame, what does Vedanta India plan to do with the cash? Would that be entire amount be distributed as dividends, or will it look at some kind of acquisitions?
Ajay?
Yeah, sure. So, Pinakin, I mean, you remember our policy and allocation of capital of 8th of February, and the entire proceeds of 2.4 plus 0.5 in fullness of time will be used, and it will be guided by our policy and allocation of capital. Now, it may have multiple usages. Example remains using that money for funding our project in terms of growth CapEx, and including the payment of dividend and deleveraging both VEDL and also VRL as a group.
But any deleveraging at VRL would be done via dividends from Vedanta Limited, or can we expect intercompany loans or asset buybacks from Vedanta Resources to Vedanta Limited?
Any kind of IC, the intercorporate loan, is out of question. And I covered this point also in a couple of the earlier calls. There is no ICD planned. And in terms of how money we can repatriate, be it dividend or other means, I think that is something we are working on, Pinakin. But as I mentioned, the allocation of capital policy remains the working theme. So it will be used for funding our growth CapEx, any acquisitions, at the same time payment of dividend and deleveraging VEDL or VRL.
ICL, we have spoken at many fronts and many times.
Sure. Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant KP Kota from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening and congratulations, sir, for the deal with HZL. And it's really reassuring that you've committed again that there will be no ICDs, etc. It's reassuring. But now, a couple of questions. On the aluminum business, how do you expect the COP to progress in Q4 FY23, assuming the coal linkage is materialized at 65%-70% and all other sources of coal are priced at where they are today? What is the COP that we can expect in Q4?
So I have a colleague in the name of Rahul Sharma, who is the CEO of aluminum business with me. But in the meantime, you can appreciate that we reduced the cost by, say, around $300 in quarter three compared to quarter two. But we feel that broadly the journey could continue depending on how much of the coal realization, linkage coal realization, and the movement would come. But there are a lot of levers in hand, and we believe that we may have good cost reduction. So any guidance, Rahul, you want to give?
Thanks, Mr. Agarwal. I think first I would just like to maybe just to take you flashback in terms of in Q2, if you recall, we have said that we'll reduce our cost by $200, and that was the H2 guidance. If you see in Q3 itself, we have reduced $280, which is 12% reduction. And that is purely comes from three factors. One is that for sure is the coal cost, improved operational KPI, and also the buying efficiency. But coming to the Q4, I think we see that it's going to be better from here, especially the lever which we see because we are going to have the 100% coal metallization. And also our Damkhani coal mine, which has started in December, we are looking quantity from Damkhani mine and also soften the commodity price. We see that there is going to be the further reduction and maybe range maybe around 5%-7%.
Understood, sir. Understood, sir. Thank you. And sir, my second question is on the oil and gas business. Sir, am I missing something here? The realizations QOQ are lower because of the lower crude prices. The volumes are same. COP is same. However, EBITDA and revenue are same despite lower realizations. So is there any mix issue over here, or what is it that I'm missing?
See, the volumes are up slightly. The volumes are up by 3%. Our cost is down by $1 per barrel or so. So there are positive levers around the operation because of which. What is the percentage increase in EBITDA from oil and gas?
It is flat, sir. It is flat QOQ.
Flat.
Despite much lower crude prices and realization as well.
Yeah. So you can see that the volume has gone up to 145-146, and the cost has also reduced.
Okay, sir. Understood, sir. If there is any other minor thing, I'll try to reconcile with your team. Yeah. Thanks, sir.
Okay. It won't be.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, couple of questions. First is, I just wanted to have a sense and understanding of the debt maturity profile at Vedanta Resources. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand is we have an total outgo of around $2.5 billion. I think we are trying to tap into PSUs, probably look to roll over at Barclays and even potentially looking to top up at Oaktree. So I just wanted to understand how should one look at the cash flows from now till June if one has to take care of the cash flow requirement at the parent level.
No, sure, Ritesh. So if you look at the, maybe that the two quarters, the one is the fourth quarter, the current quarter, Jan to March, the need for the funding at VL is about 550 million. And with the current dividend of 12.5 rupees and the remainder amount, so we are fully covered. So the entire cash requirement in terms of source and application are fully in equilibrium for the current quarter. If you look at the Q1 of next fiscal, which is April to June, the total requirement at Vedanta Resources is almost 2.1 billion. In fact, 2,050 million to be precise. Now, again, multiple discussion you're right are going on. I would say three large bucket of to meet 2.1 billion. First of all, the Oaktree upsizing by almost 750 million is one avenue. Secondly, we are in talks with the various banks, be it PSU or multinational banks, and at least half a billion we assume will get from there, so 1.2. Remainder amount is a combination of, I guess, a brand fee which you pay in the first quarter and dividend. So both for Q4, we are fully locked in, and Q1, we are in the advanced stages of closing all of those over next 2 weeks' time.
Right. So, sir, if I just go by the numbers, what you indicated, assuming Oakley at 750, brand fee at $300 million, PSU is 550, Barclays at 150, it still leaves with a gap of nearly $750 million. So is this what you are saying, is it could be by way of dividends, and are we pretty much okay that the cash flows from India operations will be able to cover up for this post-CAPEX?
Well, I think those are the ones which are already in the pipeline outer reach. And even the numbers can go hard. But with a combination of 750, half a billion, and the brand fee, we'll be covering almost 1.7 or so. And that leaves a small number, and even that we can cover. Any additional payment of dividend always an option in Q1.
Sure. And sir, I just wanted to understand, we were striving for GR to RE, which I think the court has actually put a spanner. How does your thinking change basically when we are looking at a cash flows for the next year specifically, given there is again upwards of $2.5 billion plus of maturity for Vedanta Resources? So I'm just trying to understand your thought process when it comes to matching the cash flows, cash flow requirement of the parent.
Yeah, sure. So the whole proposal, as you remember, we spoke in last also couple of investors' call. The whole movement from GR to RE was futuristic, knowing that the whole GR concept is basically a pass under New Companies Act, including, I would think, in very contemporary technical accounting. And companies are doing it even to manage things for the future. Amount that is paid in the last fiscal, including the 2 days amount, is from the current reserves and profitability. The hearing at NCLT has taken place, and all the hearing by both the parties has been finished. Now the order is reserved, and we are expecting the order to come over next 4 to 6 weeks' time. What we are working right now is to get NOC from the bankers, and we have significant portion, more than 50% bankers have given NOC. So we expect that the whole GR to RE closure will be happening within the fourth quarter.
And we are quite hopeful about it.
Perfect. Sir, last question. Sir, are there any covenants that one has to be mindful of? We understand Vedanta India balance sheet is pretty much okay. But when we look at the bond documents, we have in past taken leeway to actually basically soften out the covenants. Are there any hard covenants that one needs to be watchful for?
I think all the covenants, even at Vedanta Resources, are quite, I think, routine and standard. Nothing that I think we need to worry about.
Sure. That is very helpful, sir. More questions? I'll join back with you. I wish you good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Two questions from my side, both again on the transaction. First, what would be the tax incidence of this inflow that we'll get about 2.98 billion? So what is the kind of cost on the books that we have, and if there's any tax incidence on this?
Sure. So again, Indrajit, in terms of taxation, one should look at, in fact, two aspects. One is the international one, and the entire transaction from the international tax viewpoint is fully tax agnostic. So the 2.98, one would receive the full consideration. There is no tax implication. Secondly, from the Indian tax perspective, I think that's where we are still evaluating certain tax optimization ideas.
So even if we upstream this as a dividend, will there be a tax incidence thing, or that is still under consideration?
That we are still working on, Indrajit.
Sure. My second question is on the first tranche payment of $2.4 billion. So what are the milestones or approvals that we are awaiting, post which we will see that this amount will be upstreamed to us? What kind of numbers are we looking at, or what kind of milestones will we have?
So in terms of approvals, you know, this is an RPT, as we know, and that too also material RPT, which is crossing 1,000 crores. So in terms of approvals, it is the audit committee of both the companies, Zing and Vedanta Limited, which is done. Board of both the company also has cleared transaction. Now the third step, of course, is sending a postal ballot and getting the approval by the shareholders. There we need the majority of the minority. The entire process, both from the Zing side and from the Vedanta side, will be finished over next 6 weeks' time. So early March, it will be finished. Thereafter, the 2.4 billion sale consideration, leaving that deferred consideration, can finish pretty quickly over next 1 month's time.
So we don't have to wait for... Sorry.
We don't have to wait for?
Any government approvals either in India or overseas?
No, it's a board matter. So the board has already approved this. And post that, we have to get the shareholder approval as explained by Ajay.
Sure. Thank you so much. That's all from us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my call. So I had a couple of questions. Firstly, on can you give some update on the expansion of alumina and aluminium at Lanjigarh, and what is the status over there? When can we see additional output coming from there?
So the erection work is in full swing. So the expansion is in two parts. One is 1.5 billion ton train one, 1.5 million ton train two. So as we speak, the train one mechanical completion is getting over. And by this quarter end or the early quarter, next quarter, the plant will be fired. And we are hopeful that in the next 1 to 2 quarters, it should ramp up to the full volume. That is train one. And the second train, I think by the mid of the next year, the mechanical completion will be over. And then thereafter, it will take 1 quarter or 1.5 quarter to fully ramp up. So by the end of the next year exit, the total alumina refinery up to a capacity of 3 million ton will be up and running.
Right, and then, sir, on the sale of the transaction,
the guy who was asking
from Systematics, please repeat your question, sir.
No, I was asking that whatever dividend payment we will get from the sale of conclusion of the transaction, whatever money we will get, will be just paid out as dividend.
I covered this earlier in the call, so I said, so in terms of this entire money, 2.4 plus 0.5. In terms of utilization, will be guided by company's policy and allocation of capital. And it can be used for funding our capexes, both growth and sustaining. At the same time, payment of dividend and deleveraging for VDL and the VRL. But substantial portion we intend to use for deleveraging at the group level.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Dugal, sir, question for you. Sir, how should we look at incremental capital allocation I think we have been awaiting clarity specifically on the semiconductor foray. If you can provide some color over there. I think secondly, after Athena, we have gobbled another asset, Meenakshi, at pretty attractive valuations. So I was just trying to get a sense on incrementally on capital allocation and how are we marrying this decision specifically with the ESG targets that we already stated.
So you are asking about the semiconductor business, no?
Yes, sir.
So semiconductor business as of now is not under ambit of Vedanta. So if any call will be taken, so we'll discuss this question at that point of time.
Sir, if I may just, if one had, if hypothetically it goes at the parent or at a Vedanta India listed entity, how should we look at the financials? Or if you can, if it's possible, if you can indicate what is the quantum of capex which is required. I assume that the JV with Foxconn 50-50 and there might be 30-70. So the effective outgo might be a bit low. Can you give us some comfort with some numbers over here? So basically we can take, we can understand it better.
So Ritesh, you have to appreciate that once this transaction is not approved, I am not supposed to discuss this numbers also at this point of time, but you can do your math. Some of the numbers you are doing in your mind is also right, but it would not require much of a capex with the participation of Foxconn and the government subsidy. You understand, and there is a state subsidy also, over 50% subsidy from the center.
Sure.
Beyond this, it will not be possible for me to comment.
No problem. And sir, on power and secondly, basically Hindustan Zinc incremental basically OFS, if at all. So after Athena, we had Meenakshi. Anything on that side specifically? We have steep targets even on ESG.
See, as far as ESG is concerned, we made the 10 commandments declaration to the market that what are we going to do. One of that was that 25% of our operation will be decarbonized by 2030. And there are various approvals, projects, initiatives, various entities are taking. And the plan is that we put 4 gigawatt of the capacity in the pipeline this quarter itself. So even when we take the PLF of 4 gigawatt, it will reduce the carbon footprint by 15% from our current level. So against our overall declaration of 25%, if we are able to decarbonize 15% in the next 2 years' time, I think we should pat ourselves on the back, number one. Number two, as far as Athena and Meenakshi is concerned, see the power demand in country, you must have seen last year has gone up by 8 to 10%. And the way GDP growth is projected and the way the standard of living of the people is going up, I feel that the power demand growth is going to be 8 to 10% in the next few years' time. So these are idle assets. It is in the best interest of the nation that these idle assets should be put into operation. So from that point of view, our footprints are not increasing from our operations, but this is an initiative, I think, which is in the best interest of the society and the country. And that is why we think that what we are doing is the right thing to do.
Sure. And, sir, on Hindustan Zinc, OFS, any update on the status?
OFS on Hindustan Zinc, Arun, you are a party to the roadshow, if you can comment on that.
No, so we have, thank you for the question. We have conducted a roadshow extensively, spanning many countries along with Government of India. And there were very positive feedback from the potential buyers. So it's, I think government is working out in what form, how many tranches they would do. And let's wait for that.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, just question on aluminum, you know, growth outlook on the volume side. If you could just highlight how's the demand scenario looking and what kind of volume growth we could look at on the aluminum side.
While the world is very excited about this green metal and the demand is going to grow, but Rahul, over to you for the detailed information from your side.
Yeah. No, thanks for the question. I think aluminium is a you know, strategic metal, and we know that this calendar year, CY22, primary demand was 70 million, and we see that it is going to be a CAGR of 4 to 5% as a growth, which is likely to happen. And if I talk about India per se, India demand, if we see that, you know, on the backdrop of 17% YOY growth has been seen in the last 9 months. And we see that the demand for the country, especially for India, last year was 3.9 million, and this year is going to touch 4.5 million. So we can see that there is a very strong demand, especially India is, so, you know, demand has been increased in electrical and power sector. And other factor also, China is coming back, and, you know, we see that China is also growing for 4.4% year-on-year growth. So overall, demand is quite robust and strong, and that's what I think, as in, on the line, same line, we are also looking to expand our capacity from, you know, 2.3 million to 2.8, then we're taking up to 3 million.
Sure. And also, sir, on realization, you know, how do you see the realization moving now, going forward? Because, you know, the prices have started to go up. So just your thoughts on that from a near to medium term perspective.
Right.
Again, you know, price point of view, I can only say that, you know, key indicator which drives the growth, and I have said few, but important is that I think China removal of COVID related restriction, that's one. Second is India, which I have already spoken. Third is that US inflation dropped by 6.5% in December vis-a-vis 7.1% in November. US dollar index also dropped, you know, from 115 to 102. And other side, if I see that, you know, the kind of production cut, which is 2.5 million in China and 1 million in Europe. And there is also, if you see the inventory level, which is, I think, the lowest since 2002, is 1.4 million. So all the indicator, if you see that, that is a very strong indicator to, you know, to have the better better level from the current, which maybe has gone to 2200 kind of LME. I would only say, and you know, on that point.
Sure. Just last question. This you mentioned during the call that you know, the iron ore after this export ban removal, is just the exports are picking up. So has it normalized now, or it will still take 1 quarter?
No, the export last quarter, you see, when the ban was removed, and we took a conscious call of slowing down the domestic sale, because there is a increase in EBITDA by around $8 to $10 per ton. So as we speak, we have been able to, you know, move some shipments already. And I feel that from the current month, it will the dispatch and the sale would come up to the normal level. So that means around 6 million tons, 0.6 million tons this month itself it will take. So that is what the story. Although we still will have some inventory at the end of this month, which we'll be able to capitalize in the current quarter.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Suman Kumar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I had a small question. Could you please elaborate on the amount of hedging gains specifically that we had in this quarter? And if at all some portion we have that can come in Q4?
Yeah, sure. So the hedging gain in the third quarter is almost 475 crore rupees. And if you look at maybe for the first 9 months, yeah, it's in fact almost touching 3,000 crores. The number exactly is 2,905 crores. So almost 3,000 crores for the full 9 months and 475 for third quarter. The quantum of hedge impact is a tad low for the fourth quarter. And we also can evaluate taking further hedges, specifically in the aluminium side. But right now, if you look at mark to market for the quantity hedged, the gain is almost still about 50 odd million for the fourth quarter. So the answer to your question is specifically the 475 crores for third quarter.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agrawal for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Vedanta Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.